Welcome to our blessing from Christ, the Holy Spirit, and our Holy Creator on this beautiful day, which happens to be almost exactly right now the time of the autumn equinox or the spring equinox if you're calling from the southern hemisphere. It is really, I believe, to the best of my ability to read the prognosis correctly, it is happening about 2 o'clock our time. So while you are actually assimilating in your blessing, our planet will be moving into perfect equilibrium. I think that's a wonderful, wonderful time. And do we happen to have Nate on the call? Nathaniel Loomis, who has been a blessing giver and a frequent member of our community. I want to congratulate him on his new fatherhood, if he is. Nate, sign in and tell us how it feels to be a dad. And we want to offer special blessings to your newborn son. Well, let's just begin by taking some calls. First of all, hi, Chris. It's great to hear from you.
Hi. I'm so glad you mentioned Nate and his new child. I was just talking about the child before the call, Manu Akal Loomis. And mother's doing fine. The baby looks perfect, according to Nate. He sent me a couple of text messages and maybe having just minor respiratory distress. So, yeah, including the child in our blessings would be just awesome today. But everything's looking good. So I'll pass
that on. Oh, I'm so glad to hear.
Yeah, I'm sure Nate is just ecstatic. He could hear the joy and the happiness in his text. He didn't call, but
well, he called me yesterday when his wife Sita was in labor, but I wasn't here to get the phone, so it was much later before I got his call, and I figured by the time I got it, he was already beholding his new baby, and I didn't want to interfere with that precious moment. So blessings to you, Nathaniel, and Sita, and our new wonderful citizen of this planet Earth. And Chris, what's up with you?
Oh, well, you know, I'm doing pretty well. Just still cruising through the countryside here. I'm in Effingham now, but I've been feeling different stretches of things. A lot more stuff just seems to be coming up. I don't know if it's the equinox or the full moon or what. It's hard to say. So it'd be interesting to know if something's going on that you know about that's bringing up just a lot of past stuff. But I'm enjoying the experience of having it come up. Let's just say that.
Okay. Well, see, we're having a full moon in Aries, which means it's going to be bringing up a lot of personal stuff. But the equinox is a time of peace and a time of grace. And even though it's a special moment for us to be in the recovery and assimilation of blessing at the time the planet reaches its perfect balance, we are still in what is called a season of balance, about 15 days before and 15 days after. This is a time in which we look for equilibrium in our life, the simple pleasures in life that do not require stress to attain them. We resolve our differences. We look for harmonies, and we just enjoy what our Earth can give us in terms of that perfect balance and resolution. So I don't think the equinox would be bringing up issues, but the full moon certainly can. It's notorious for doing that. And when it's moving in, when it's in Aries, then they will be personal issues and perhaps even involving confrontation.
Wow.
You can look for that. And especially with you guys. So much more challenging for the guys than the gals. The gals will get their turn in a few days when it or the next month when it will be in Taurus.
Okay.
Okay.
But I appreciate it. Yeah, thank you. I appreciate
You're
it.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
We have another caller coming in from area code 321. Hi, you're on.
Hey, Glenda. Thanks so much for having it, Colin. I really enjoy it.
And, what am I with?
And, I was working on priorities, and some I'm very happy with, but some are still, you know, trying to formulate correctly.
Uh-huh.
And I was wondering if I could share what's going on and
sure.
steer me around if you'd like.
Sure. As long as you can be relatively concise and also relevant for other people.
Okay. I guess it's relevant. What it boils down to for me is developing love and loyalty.
Uh-huh.
And it's something that comes up early in the Proverbs. It actually says, it's on your heart, so to speak. In other words, make this really, really important. And the reason it's so important to me is because, you know, maybe at times if I wasn't so oriented to spirit, to meaning, to God, to love, you know, I had maybe experiences where I didn't have that that loyalty, that moral courage, the integrity sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
And so whenever the Master says something about that, it really pings for me now. It's like extremely important.
Yes.
I've come across other expressions about that too. In the East, they refer to it as Shraddha Virya, which means natural affection and,
mm-hmm.
and moral courage, which it's taught as sort of a culture. From natural affection, moral courage develops, and it's just an extremely important thing for me. So I want to take advantage of any. Direction I get for a close relationship to God, to master, to teachers, you know.
That's wonderful. Actually, what you say is really important for all of us. It's just not everybody knows it. So congratulations on getting to that point in life where it's really real to you. We really are love incarnate. Therefore, how could we extend into the universe except by discernments about love that is also substantiated by a willingness to be loyal. And I think it's very important that you got that connection, because we can love a lot of things and a lot of people on a passing or momentary basis. That, we meet a person at a party and we say, you know, I just love that person. Or we have some food and, oh, wow, that is the best thing I've ever had. I just love it. But if we take it for, if we consume it for a long time, we find it's not good for our body. So I think that love has a second stage of discernment, where we look at, yes, this is wonderful. Could even be a place to live. Like a place that is wonderful to visit. We fall in love with it and we say, oh, I'd like to live there forever. This happens all the time to people who visit Sedona. They'll sell their home where it is, where they've got business or friends or family come here. And then after 2 or 3 months, they find, well, I've got no work here. I've got no friends. Why did I do that? I still love Sedona, but pretty soon they're moving out. And this is what I'm talking about. It is a discernment of love that can actually attach itself to long-term fidelity and loyalty. Maybe not forever. Perhaps you find the right career. And it really is right for you, and you cultivate it and you build it, but there may be someday when you want to retire or change careers. So it doesn't have to be forever. But the combination of love with fidelity, love with devotion, love with faithfulness is intimate to the whole process of cultivating wisdom. And that's, of course, why it would be in the book of Proverbs. And you would see it there, and it's so often in the scriptures. And this really takes us into something that I thank you for asking that, and I want to take us into something that I did want to talk about today, and that is our next webinar. What matters most? I have been asked this question, the very question that you're asking, so many times from people. And I think it's finally time that we really looked at what does matter most. Now, of course, in the practical, pragmatic business world, that means functional priorities, or it means setting up a goal and then developing our agenda to accomplish that goal, doing what comes first to allow the next thing to occur and so forth. I think most of us pretty much are aware of that. Maybe we haven't studied as well as we need to. But our consideration of what matters most really is a lot bigger subject, a lot bigger topic than just that. We have so many questions in life that we need to really look at what we're willing to be faithful to, what we want in a long-term progression of our life, what we would give our life for, what we would live our life for. And actually, that's the whole subject of the Bible. A lot of people look at the Bible as you can't do this and you should do that, and the doctrine they were raised on as a child and the conformities that are built around that doctrine. But really, in the end, the wisdom of the Bible all reduces down to what matters most. Read the Ten Commandments and see if in fact, if you read the Ten Commandments as a filter for what matters most, it will take on a very new meaning that has nothing to do with law, order, and punishment. It has to do with wisdom. And you will actually be able to distill the wisdom from reading those. And you'll see it's not about what you do and then you'll be punished for if you don't, or if you do or don't. You'll be rewarded if you do and punished if you don't. Those ideas come from a very old culture with many pressures of reward and punishment from stratified governments and beliefs that had to be adhered to meticulously without even thinking about the wisdom that was underneath the teaching. What we are striving to do here in this community is to find and then focus upon the wisdom that is within all of these great teachings. The Bible and other great sources of wisdom that have existed, and of course Yeshua's teachings to me, and our cultivated human wisdom. What does matter most in our life? Well, this is what we're going to look at in our webinar. And I think that's a question that everyone asks in the course of their life. Every single discovery and personal growth moment has come because someone asked and found the answer to that question. I know that as an artist, every brushstroke is a question and answer of, well, what does matter most? Because if I go into a painting with just a preconceived design, the result will be stagnant and predictable. The only way I can actually enter into a creative work of art, explore it, discover, express myself in ways that were unknown to me before the last brushstroke occurs, I have to know how to ask that question. And I have to know what that question feels like from my heart, and I have to know what the answer feels like. You see, we were brought here as children of God and citizens of the earth to lift up the earth, not to conform down to the lowest common denominator, but to strive upwardly, to discover that which has not yet been seen. In order to do that, we have to constantly be facing the unknown. It's part of the order of life that we are facing the unknown. And it's amazing to me when people come to me and I'll ask them, how do you pray? The first thing they want to know are all the answers to the unknown. God, can you tell me why this isn't working? God, can you tell me why my wife or husband did this, or why this person at the office just can't get along with me? They want answers to the unknown and never realize that the unknown has come about to challenge them to discover inside that unknown what matters most. When they get that feeling, that right question, and a sense for knowing when an answer has come, so they can respond to the answer, they're on a high roll that will take them to the top. There is room for everybody at the top. If you're really asking the right questions and responding to the answers when they come, and the questions should not be trivial questions that have to do with fear and judgment and irresolution with some problem. This is why we were created to live in faith and to be carried by our faith so that we can be in the unknown. Look at the process Albert Einstein went through in discovering the theory of relativity and how to actually measure the speed of light. What light really is and how it is the constant. He asked all kinds of questions about Newtonian physics, which was really centering around the field of conservation, where all the answers were theoretically provided, and yet the big questions had not been answered at all. He knew there was a bigger field he needed to go into. He knew. See, his faith carried him beyond all the other previous explanations. He was like Christopher Columbus, who went out on the ocean, not knowing what he was going to find, but having a sense of direction about how he wanted to sail. So Einstein he looked at all the known factors, not good enough, not nearly good enough. So he took a leap in several directions that were at first they didn't pay off. And then finally he just surrendered into basically innocent perception and discovered what he was looking for riding on a commuter train, just surrendering into the light that was clipped by intervals of the train and coming through the window, had some subjective realizations that he took back to the drawing board, put some mathematics to it, and he was on the trail of what he was looking for. Faith opened his eyes to a bigger question, a bigger answer. And of all the things that matter, that is one of the greatest, is faith. Yeshua said, with enough faith, you can call to the mountain and have it come to you. Because faith takes us to the bigger arena where life is beckoning us into a fuller, more complete destiny. Now, I do not believe in predestination, in the sense that from the beginning of our life, everything was mapped out for us. But I do believe that we work with God and others and our planet and the universe and the evolution of the human race to create a destiny. And by that, I mean that everything we have done in our life has set forth a momentum of choices and decisions. And that momentum will result in realizations and fulfillments of our life. We can actually pay forward our destiny by making choices today that are really good about our future, being compassionate for others, being charitable to life, being in our optimistic confidence that we live in God's world, and that even though we suffer now, this will not last forever. All of these attitudes and choices and directions and vectors set in place a momentum for our life that really is creative destiny, not predestiny, but creative or co-creative destiny. Now, why do I use the word destiny? Because every choice we make has a result, and it carries with it momentum that we may see into, well into the future. If any of you have ever been married and had children and then were forced by situation to go through a divorce, you know what I mean. You can't unbirth your children, nor would you want to. You have to find a way to love them in a new relationship. You can't pretend the marriage didn't happen. It did, and it will carry forth into your life. Who knows how many years that momentum will carry forth. Everything we do carries with it momentum. All the decisions we make, all the good deeds we do, all the not-so-good deeds we do, all the judgments we make will come back to haunt us. How many times have we judged another only to find out that we were wrong, and then we had to live with that judgment for a very long time sometimes, because we might have missed a valuable opportunity that had been brought to us through that judgment. Now, knowing what matters most is what helps us to make the right determinations and then to steer the momentum that has already been set forth in our life into a better, more productive direction, then knowing how to harvest it when it's available and turn it into even a more beneficial investment. There are only a few things that really, really matter. And those are the ones that matter most. And then after that, there's another tier. And another tier, I don't mean tears from the eyes, I mean a strata of importances, which finally allows us to deal with the practical priorities of life. Being able to apply the practical priorities of life can totally, totally change your life. But how many times have you set forth a goal or a business plan or a life plan or a diet, for example, or New Year's resolutions, and you find only a few days or weeks into it, you can't follow those priorities. Something's interfering with it. Well, what's interfering with it are the choices, the determinations, and the influences of what matters even more than those priorities. For example, a child will get sick, or maybe your partner will have an automobile accident, or something will happen in the broader human economy that affects your priorities down here. And your attention is taken off of a flawless pursuit of these priorities. It's very easy to see that people are very vulnerable to conditions in the world and what happens around them. And what happens around them can affect their ability to follow through on these priorities. Now, it's crucial that you do, but let's forgive ourselves for the fact that we don't. Because what we haven't learned yet are these upper tiers of decision or stratas of decision, determination, wisdom, choices, faith, commitment, loyalty, or what, there are many words we will use to describe these upper strata that create such a firm foundation for your life that you then can follow your practical priorities. And there is no one that cannot turn their life around by doing what matters most. There is no limit of success in this world. The only limit we see that looks like it's a limit to success is the illusion that comes from the fact that some people, some businesses, some organizations are so protected by their alliances or their wealth or their longevity of success that they already have a strong foundation, or at least they're protected for a while from not seeing that they don't have a strong foundation. But anyone who comes in and creates that strong foundation can move into the success circle wherever you determine success to be, whether it's spiritual success, personal, emotional, relationship, financial, career, value to this world success, parenting, whatever field of success you determine is the right success for you, that you want to put the whole force of your destiny into, that can all be created by knowing first what matters most. And the whole of Yeshua's teaching boils down to that simple, simple teaching. Everything he taught us was reduced to simplicity because he wanted to make sure no one had an advantage over others just because they had a little bit more intellectual foundation or polish. He wanted to make sure that everyone had equal access to the wisdom and the truth he brought to this world. And much of that was told in parables. Let's face it, it was an easy to understand thing by everyone. And even the law and the prophets that he was asked about, he said, it all comes down to two. It all comes down to two. Love God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself. That's it. And so he was a master of getting life down to its simplest form. And this is what we're going to do in this webinar. Now, insofar as this relates to the blessing and the blessing of today, I would like you to think in your heart about today, just what matters most to you. Let go of the trivia or the biting bugs that cause you to bat away and scratch and you think that's the most important thing in life. Just think about if this were the last day of your life, what would you be doing? What would you be feeling? Who would you want to be with? What matters most? What would you want to take with you? What would you want to remember? What and who would you want to honor? Who and what would you want to give your legacy to carry on the light of your life into the next stage of life? As we go into our prayer today, I would really like you to think about that and consider what matters most to you, because it helps you to simplify. It really helps a lot to simplify your feelings and the openness of your heart to the blessings of God. Sometimes we miss the blessings of God because they are so simple. We're looking for God to balance our checking account. And what God is trying to do is bring us a larger spectrum of abundance. Sometimes we're asking God to be the winner in an argument, and God is simply bringing more love to our life so that winning and losing matter less. Sometimes we miss the rainbow at the sky because we're still wiping the raindrops off of our forehead. And that's what I want you to consider now as we go into our blessing for this day. And I'll take one last call. Desmond, I've been seeing you on the call, and I apologize, but I felt it was important to say what I did, but I want to welcome you on for a couple of minutes.
Glenda, that was absolutely amazing. I just wanted to say that I read your email and I loved it. You got on the call and I could sense your energy was just as vibrant as it, I sensed it in the email. And what you explained here was enormous amount of, I really like the rainbow and the rain falling in your eyes and not being able to see the rainbow. I thought that was a beautiful image. Thank you.
You're welcome, Desmond. And God bless you. And God bless all of you. And all who are part of your life. And let us begin. I would call forth whatever blessing givers would like to join me, that we may offer blessings to the world. We remember especially those in deep distress. And I have been watching the plight of those in Mexico, which is a very terrible plight right now. And I know that many of them are feeling extremely despondent, lost, and abandoned within our human family as they struggle for life and death. And I'm sure they are able to bring a gift to us as we pray for them. That as we pray for them, they will help us to understand what matters most. This is one of the gifts we get back from our charity, from those who really need it, is it helps us to focus upon what we would contribute to if we had a little bit less, or if we were not quite so comfortable. What would we want to sustain our life? And there are many others around the world who are struggling right now. And even the people in Colorado are still struggling from the floods there. And they were really, really terrible floods that took a number of lives and left great and major damage. We have some blessing givers in that area, and we hold you in our heart. And the list goes on and on. These have been troubled times. But today, on the equinox, let us remember that among the things that matter most are peace on earth, faith in God, and love for one another. Let us begin. If you will just begin your prayer, drop your attention to your heart, and just be there. I will say my invocation to Yeshua, and then we will begin the blessing. Dear Yeshua, thank you for taking our life into such a simple awareness of wisdom that we couldn't miss it any more than the sunset or the sunrise if we would just open our eyes. Help us to see the rainbow. Help us to look for the blessings of God that are all around us, that we miss so often because we're so focused upon the little annoying troubles of the moment. Thank you for being with us, always walking with us, and helping us turn our troubles into humor or faith or resolution or hope, and ultimately, hopefully, into wisdom. We thank you for being with us this day, and for being with all who are in trouble or alone or feeling abandoned. May they know that they are always with you. And we thank you for giving your gift of life so generously to us all, that we may heal in the truest and deepest way with the blessings of God, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and the love in our heart where we join with you. Amen. The energetic conveyance of blessing is now at a close. However, it will continue in your life for as long as you live, as long as this blessing is relevant. And now I would like you to rest for at least 7 minutes, assimilate the gift into your body, heart, soul, and being. Enjoy the fullness of the blessing. Have a wonderful week, and I look forward to being with you next Sunday. Much love from me. Bye-bye.